Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And with the 66th overall pick in the 1997 NFL Draft, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers select from Virginia, Ronde Barber. That's how it started for this guy. That's how it started. You know as well as I do. You introduce your brother, man. Yeah. Come on, it's a big weekend for him.
16-year vet. I don't know how many All Pros and Pro Bowls,
but more than me. Pros.
Most importantly, Super Bowl champion 2002-2003 season, going into the Tampa Bay Ring of Honor. Ronde, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us.
Good. I'm glad we started this by acknowledging that I am the better football player.
Oh, shut it up.
That's a good start.
Just because you could be singularly focused on football, and I get distracted and want to do a bunch of other things.
Are you calling him shallow?
No, he's not shallow. He's just focused. He's just like really good. He's really
sounds
good.
Like a bunch of excuses and explanations to me.
Hey, I hear him every day, Ronde.
Exactly. BT knows that very well. Well, first of all, congratulations, man. What does this mean to you? Because there are 13. Well, you will be the 13th member in the Bucs Ring of Honor. There are probably six or so players. Some of the other ones are executives. What does this mean to you, man?
This is cool. I mean, our Ring of Honor is not expansive like some. It started while I was still playing. So the history of Bucs football is, you know, still kind of being written as compared to some of the other huge franchises across the country. So. But to be one of the early ones, the lucky 13, which I will say is it's nice, man. I wasn't. It's not unexpected. What's the most humble way for me to say that? You know, you play 16 years in the for one franchise, and have the accomplishments that I had. It was just a matter of getting through a queue of guys in front of me before I got in. And you know, there's great ones there. Both coaches went in just prior to me, Tony, and then John, and you know, Warren and Derek Brooks and John Lynch and Mike Allstott, guys that I play with all preceded me. Paul Gruber too, I played a couple years with, he's in. So to be up there with those guys, man, it's special. You know, you walk into Raymond James Stadium, look at the northeast corner, and right above the ship, really, and to see my name spelled correctly, by the way, with the accent.
Oh, nice.
We have confirmed that. It's gonna be awesome, man.
Yeah. I'll be there. I can't wait. I mean, it's gonna be fun. I'll be in the booth with you and Kenny, and I'll get to talk really good things and say good things about you, but including how it started, which actually wasn't really good. Like, your journey in the National Football League wasn't as seamless as it seems. 16 or now it's 22 years later, but you know what I mean. 16 seasons later, it wasn't easy. I mean, your Herm Edwards, who was your position coach at the time, basically didn't believe in you. He thought you were lazy, didn't work hard, which is the antithesis of the Ronde that I know. But, you know, talk about the beginning of your journey and how it led to where you ultimately became one of the most hated people in Philadelphia.
Yeah, right. I'm glad you put that on there. Way to go. Now all your Philly listeners are tuning out. But, look, it was supposed to be hard for me. And I don't mean that in that I made it that way. It just was. I don't know if you remember, well, you probably do remember, you were going through this with me, but you have this perception of the NFL, and I'd come off, you know, three great years starting at Virginia, left early, and I already graduated. I had another year left, as you remember, fifth year that I didn't take, but I thought I was ready for the league, and I wanted to be this big, fast, you know, corner, and size-wise. And I got to tell you, I went into this deal like heavy. I was too big, couldn't run, you know, and that was my gift. through college and really high school and everything, my ability to move in space. And when I got to Tampa, I was just too heavy. I wasn't the same player because of my composition. And it took me a year to figure that out. Herm will say it took me learning how to be a pro, which I 100% agree with. But for me, it was learning how to play in the NFL. It was different than college. I could get away with being 190 at Virginia. I couldn't get away with being 190 in the NFL and having lost a step. It was a year of grinding, practicing. You know, you go out to practice now and you see these scout teams and, you know, most of them are kind of like glorified walkthroughs. Guys are going in slow motion. Like, that was not me. I was the opposite of that. You know, I was trying to perfect the craft, and I realized by not playing that I needed work. I had work to do, and I did it. And by the end of that season, I played in a playoff game against Green Bay, which we ultimately lost. But it was the catapult that sent me into 98. And I got an opportunity after week one, and, you know, the rest is history as far as, you know, my Tampa Bay journey goes. And but it took a lot of soul searching, man, because, I mean, there was times talking to my friends. Man, I remember talking to Brian Radigan, my one of my buddies, early in 98, and going, man, I don't know if this NFL thing's going to work out, dude. can I sell golf clubs with you? Or, you know, what am I going to do? But it worked out. And in no small part also, Tiki, because of your success. I know twins are very rare in the NFL. You know,
not anymore.
two sets on the same team now. But I wanted to be successful because you were successful, just like we were in high school and college.
Yep.
And I knew there was a goal in mind, and it just took me getting the right plan to reach that goal before I got going. And then I had a great run, man. Really good run.
Rondé, I have a question for you that I think both you guys will really enjoy. It's Rondé Barber, of course, with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Knowing the relationship, at least getting it a lot, you're hearing it from Tiki and the talks we have on the air and obviously off the air as well, and I sense Solongo what he means to you, and obviously you reciprocate that. Would your NFL career have meant as much if Tiki fizzled out after 2 years, or Tiki, if you popped and became a star and Rondé was out of the NFL in 3 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great question. Because I know, and Tiki can attest to this, there would be times when we didn't play at the same time, right? Or he was playing at one and I was playing at four, or vice versa, or night game, whatever. And I would spend the entire day just seeing what he did. You know, I got a game to get ready for, or I may have just played. I'm like, hey, what were Tiki's stats today? You know? There is an element to that, for sure. And I think it's more so with twins. Not that I know what it's like not to be a twin, but I feel like it's more so with twins because you share so much growing up, and you know, your paths, no matter how different they are still somewhat the same if you end up doing the same thing, which we had done for so long. So for sure, man, it would have been different if, you know, 3 years in, an injury or, you know, changing of the guard or something had washed either him or I out of the league. I think it definitely would have been not as unique a feeling as it turned out to be.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that, because a lot of my success was tied into Rondé's success, and the feel of accomplishment was tied into his accomplishment. I didn't win a Super Bowl. I went and got beat in his stadium, by the way, because it was down in Raymond James. But when he won the Super Bowl in San Diego, I was right there. I remember the guy trying to not let me on the field. I'm like, dude, there's no way you're not letting me on this field after they had destroyed the Oakland Raiders. So I made my way down there and got to share in it, man. It was pride. People are like, are you jealous? I'm like, no, I'm not jealous. It's like, this is me. Like, literally, it's me. We have the same genetics. But, you know, Rondé, you played 215 consecutive regular season starts, 224 if you consider the postseason. It's like you were an Iron Man. But I think more importantly, you helped shape a position that now is paramount in the National Football League, but before you didn't really exist in the way that you played it. The fact that you've waited a few years to get into the Hall of Fame is criminal, but the slot corner is probably one of the most important positions in football. Yeah. Like, how did you come to define that role? Because when I think of it, and I think when a lot of people do, if they're really paying attention to history, you created what the slot corner is.
Well, I just did it differently. I think it was more of an overlooked position. You put your third corner in there. But at the time, when I started playing in there, and this, a lot of credit goes to Monty and Herm and Mike T, who ended up being my DB coach for a couple of years, and then Raheem, they gave me a lot. They put a lot on my plate, and it really transformed it into more than just a guy that goes in there when you have three wide receivers on the field. Now you look at the game, and the nickel corners is as important as any position on the football field. I mean, you know more nickel corners than you do nose tackles in football. And you could probably say 20 years ago you would know almost every nose tackle in football because it was a different league. You know, it's transitioned to a passing league, which was happening when I was playing that position. And you know, Monty and those guys, look, we don't want to have to take this position off the field, even if teams are going to try to run the football on us. And so I really learned to play more like a linebacker. I mean, I spent so much time with Lovie Smith, who was a linebacker coach at the time, Joe Barry, when Lovie left, and learned underneath defense like Derek Brooks knew underneath defense.
Yeah.
And then you couple that with, you know, my ability in pass coverage and my short area quickness and awareness, and so I could do it all. And I think now that position has become so specialized that you need a guy that can do it all. If you can't, you're kind of lacking in there. But I was the first is probably maybe a little bit of a misstep. You know, Aeneas Williams had done it.
True.
Hall of Famer.
True.
You know, there have been some other guys that had had success doing that. But I think because of the numbers that I was able to accumulate and the impact plays that I had over the course of those 15 years playing inside there, that I get the credit for being the one that revolutionized it. But that being said, we did a lot of things that other teams did not do with that position.
Yeah.
But then what other teams wanted to do with that position. So it's pretty cool to have, you know, pretty consensus feeling that, you know, I was the one that set that up.
40 interceptions and 40 plus interceptions, 20 plus quarterback sacks. You and Charles Woodson are the only one in NFL history to have done that. And Rhonda, you talk about being an impact player in that slot position. The most impactful play of your career, which I'm sure will be highlighted this weekend down in Tampa, and it might be the biggest cheer of the day when they show this. The 92-yard interception return of Donovan McNabb, who you just owned over the course of your career, that basically sealed the game and sent you guys into the postseason. You're running down the field, and I'm on the sideline as well. Point to your name, either to get the monkey off your back or don't forget my name. You know, take us through that play, because it's the iconic one, and I know it will be part of the NFL 100 because they interviewed me for it, obviously celebrating the 100th season in the National Football League. It's an iconic one, not just for the Bucs, but for NFL history.
Yeah, that's a big one. But real quick, you know, the
and for the Eagles, by the way, not in a good way.
Jab.
I always tell them, you know, a barber last touchdown in the vet was a barber, right? They get pissed off at me.
Yeah. Hey, so my first interception, I'll go back to that one real quick, was against the Giants. I know you know this. So that was the start of my journey, and I'll never let you forget that.
Who's the quarterback?
Danny Cannell.
Danny Cannell. Okay, gotcha.
First interception in college and the pros was Danny Cannell.
Sorry, oh, wow.
Danny, I know I'm putting you on blast.
Wow.
But to your point, Peek, that was a game where we knew we had to win because you talk monkey on your back. I don't necessarily felt like – metaphorically, yes. But we knew we had to go to Philly and win. We had to. And we just couldn't beat them. You know, Tony Dungy got fired because we couldn't beat Philadelphia. You know, they had knocked us out of the playoffs, you know, prior. We had lost to them earlier in the season. Our Super Bowl journey was going to have to go through Philadelphia. And if you remember, and I'm sure Philly fans do, Tampa fans certainly do, Donovan was being Donovan. You know, he's marching down the field, making crazy plays, running out of the pocket. I think he ran through Simeon and Warren on one play and got them down with inside the, you know, the 15-yard line. And then the next play, the very next play, was my iconic one. And look, Monty had a propensity to blitz when he was pissed. You know, he's like, big play, let's bring pressure. So I showed it. Unfortunately, our front set up to look like I was going to have to, like I could have brought pressure. But we were just playing cover two, man. And he thought I was coming. He was looking for a hot to Antonio Freeman. I skipped out two steps, saw where his ball was supposed to go, and then all you got to do is catch it, man. And I think in those moments, when I look at it now, I say, how did I catch that ball, man? Because it was an awkward throw. It was kind of outside of the frame of my body. I know for a fact that I didn't catch it clean, but I was already running because I knew that I had made the play.
Wow.
And, you know, 92 yards later, you know, I'm letting everybody know, you know, who did it. And it was fun, man. I really enjoy reliving that moment. I know a lot of Philly fans don't like reliving that moment because they tell me every time I see them how much I ruined their childhood or their all this other stuff. I'm like, man, let's just play it. I was doing my job. But it's special. And my teammates, the ones that will be here this weekend, the ones that I see from time to time, they always remind me about that play. But to me, it was just another play that I had to make.
Well,
of the many.
You'll see it on Sunday, but that's also going to be in the Hall of Fame reel eventually, of course. That's Rondé. But it is. We know that. Rondé Barber's with us here. By the way, Rondé. So Rondé's got the game. Obviously, Tika's going down to Florida. It's the Giants and the Bucks, 4:05 Eastern, Fox. But Rondé, how about this? Literally a minute ago, just broke. Antonio Brown sent packing, released by the Patriots. Give us a couple of thoughts.
Wow.
Just happened.
That's wow. I'm on the phone with you guys, so I'm not getting the alert. So I don't have my TV.
Yeah, I hear you.
Now,
yeah.
Wow. That's, I don't know Antonio at all. I don't know him. I feel that he was going to get a bunch of opportunities after he left Oakland. And, of course, he goes to New England. I don't know. I would love to know what happened. If it was a cross, or if it's something coming down from the league that they're just getting ahead of. I'm kind of speechless. I wish I would have had time to know this.
Yeah, no, it's happening in real time, dude.
It's a fast moving world, Rondé.
Is it the right move for you, Rondé? I think it's a no brainer.
Well,
is it the right move?
Well, look. Does New England ever make a bad move? There may be some ones that don't work out for them, or some guy goes somewhere else and does something better once they leave. But for that organization, I feel like they always make the right moves for them. So if, in that regard, yes, it's the right move. And look, if he is that much of a distraction to the football team that they feel like they had to let him go after being there for, what, a week and a half, then it's the right move for them.
Yeah.
Now, is he an immeasurable talent? Absolutely he is. But is he an immeasurable headache? Even more so. But I've had plenty of conversations with Mike Tomlin over the years, and you know, he shakes his head. It's like, man, he's putting out fires with this dude all day long. And maybe, you know, just you got to figure that Belichick and that crew there realize we don't need this type of distraction on our football team. We're about winning championships.
Yeah.
We're not about the hype and the self promotion and the other problems that come along with having a guy of that impact and influence, negative or positive, on a football team, and he's gone. Wow, that's crazy, dude.
Yeah. Now, Rondé, we're 5 minutes late, but because it's you, we'll let you go. But give me 3 seconds. Does he sign somewhere else this year?
No. I say no. I think enough people saw what happened on Hard Knocks this year, understand the headache that he is, and then if Bill Belichick and Tom Brady can't get him right in that offense on that football team, then I would say no.
Yeah, it's interesting. Rondé, congrats again. I'll see you tomorrow morning. Me and Tracy are heading down. It's going to be a celebratory weekend for you and your amazing career. Well-deserved. I'm proud of you. Love you, brother.
Love you too, man. I'll see you in a couple hours, bro.
Yep, be good.
Great job, Rondé. I'll give you a little ovation since I won't be down in Tampa.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.